Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Yeah, sure thing.
Hey, you sold that car yet?
Yeah, sold it to Carvana.
Oh, I thought you were selling to that guy.
The guy who wanted to pay me in foreign currency, no interest, over 36 months? Yeah, no. Carvana gave me an offer in minutes, picked it up, and paid me on the spot. It was so convenient.
Just like that?
Yeah.
No hassle?
None.
That is super convenient.
Sell your car to Carvana and swap hassle for convenience. Pickup fees may apply.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
And welcome into another edition of Spits and Suds. So glad you can join us. I'm Gavin Spittle of 105.3 The Fan. We are basically at the halfway point. And when we last talked to him, we said, let's do it again at the halfway point. So it is always great to talk to our Spits and Suds friend, the greatness of Ralph Strangis. How are you?
Hey, great, Gavin. Great. Happy New Year. Although, yes. Wait now. Larry David says after the second, you can't say that anymore. That's the cutoff. So I'm sorry, but Happy New Year. Good to see you. I'm good, man. I'm, you know, just out here in the Coachella Valley. No snow, no rain, nothing, just sunshine. And we'll play golf when I'm done with you here.
Oh, man. Yeah, we got chilly. Yeah, but you know what? Good hockey weather. We got the toucan.
Great. It is. It's nice hockey weather. It is.
Yeah, absolutely. A little frosty in there. We had some snow last week in DFW. So, you know, things like that kind of brings, you know, growing up in northern Massachusetts, you know, that was hockey weather, we called it. The pond was frozen. You know, time to get the sticks out.
Well, I was in Minnesota. So,
you can relate.
You know, I can very much relate. Standing out, the thing that I still remember when I think about it is standing out at 6 a.m. for the bus in the winter.
Yes.
To go to high school.
Yes. Oh. Yeah, absolutely.
I had to get up at 5:30. Now, I don't like getting up at 5:30 ever, but when you're like 15, 16, 17, there is nothing. We just, you know, why are we doing it this way? Well, because we've always done it this way. Well,
right.
Really? Yeah. Well, wait, I don't know if this is helping anybody. Get us all out of bed at 5:30, you know, drag us all to school where we don't learn much. I don't know.
Well, anyway. The other thing that I remember as a kid was the modern day rink had not come to fruition yet. So when we'd go to like local hockey games or go for skates, it would be so almost colder than outside.
Yeah. Yeah. Those kind of those pole barns, those aluminum sheds or whatever the heck.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, God. They were terrible.
Yeah. They really were. And maybe this, before we talk hockey, I don't know when the last time you were back in Minnesota, but, and I've actually Googled this and there's no research as far as does your blood warm. But going back to the East Coast like I did around the holidays, my body just was not adapting to that weather at all.
Yep. No, I've gotten, maybe it's a mental thing more.
Yeah.
I'm just out on all winter stuff, you know, because I went from standing in Minnesota on a corner at 6 a.m. in 10 below weather to standing on a tarmac in Edmonton at 3 a.m. in 20 below weather.
Yeah.
I don't have any interest in any anymore. I'm done with weather. I'm done with snow. I'm done with, you know, I mean, we have here 100 miles away, of course, we have the fires. None of it is encroaching here yet. So, you know, and it's hard to get that here where we are. But you know, there's been isolated fires here over the few years that I've been here. But you know, anyway, I can't go back into the cold. But
no, absolutely. Okay, so what a road trip. I mean, this is one of the tougher road trips of the year, and to pull 8 out of 10 points. And I was saying before the back half of this trip, Montreal, Ottawa, Toronto, I'd be happy with 3 points total. They walk out with 4, take 2 out of 3. All three teams are very physical. Stars are currently pretty banged up, but playing some really good hockey at the halfway point, Ralph.
Yeah, they are. That 5 games too was, the metrics are quite encouraging, aren't they?
Yeah.
10 goals allowed in 5 games, 45% on the power play, 45% on the power play, 45%, 10 different stars scored goals, 15 picked up points. It's, you know, it's extremely encouraging this time of year. I'm wondering, you know, a little bit of maybe they got the benefit of people aren't really thinking this is a team that's going to come in that we have to worry that much about. You know, they're banged up. They've had kind of an uneven season. You know, maybe, I mean, you know, the defending champs roll in and you kind of, your ears prick up a little bit.
Yep.
But, you know, so not to take anything away from what they're doing, but I wonder sometimes if right now they're a little bit under the radar, which isn't a bad thing for a team that was coming into this season considered to be, and even now a little bit considered to be in the running for the cup. But they kind of look like, sometimes when you get those big holes in a lineup, it really forces everybody else to do a little bit more, but they also kind of simple it up a little bit too. And they're a lot more concerned about, you know, coaches will, you know, hit, check, do the basic stuff.
Yeah.
And the game will come, and that's kind of what I think has been happening here with the Stars, because they're missing a lot. You know, this team today compared to the team that was in the playoffs last year ain't the same team.
No.
No, it's not. And in terms of personnel, like, what's missing now is a lot, right? Like, look at Sagan's out.
Yep.
Right? Tyler's having a great year. He had 9 goals, 20 points, 3 on the power play in 20 games. Yeah. That's a 35 goal, you know, 60 point or 80 point season. You know, Marchment, he had 12 goals, you know, 15 assists, 27 points. The other two though that I think we kind of forget about are, and maybe we don't, Pavelski, right? He's not on the power play, so it's different. But the one that, and we saw him last night, and I underappreciated him so much until I saw him every night.
I know where you're going, yeah.
Yeah, it's Chris Tanev.
Yeah.
Tanev was, and I mean, that is an element that few teams can have, and that's why Toronto overpaid for him. I mean, this is an enormous hole to fill. And Dumba ain't Tanev. No. It's just not, you know. I mean, not even in the same area code.
Yeah, you know, completely like different as far as like defensemen in their styles, but he kind of reminds me of Sergei Zubov in just one aspect. Whenever I watched Sergei Zubov, I felt as though it was going in slow motion, even though it was going really fast. And I kind of feel the same way about Tanev, Ralph, in that when he goes back to the boards, there's just a calmness about, like, I always feel that control and almost knowing 2 steps ahead. And that's why he's just special.
Yeah, I can't make the Zubov comparison. You know how I am with Zubov.
I know. But you know what I'm saying.
Nobody in that class.
He
doesn't. There's no panic point back there.
Right.
He's tougher than nails, man. I mean, it's just the toughness, the shot blocking, you know, have him in and around the other players. Like, this guy is, it's a big loss. And I think, you know, again, I have to do my disclaimer. I don't talk to anybody with the Stars, not about these things for sure. I have no inside information. I'm not talking to the coaches. I'm not talking to the players. I'm not talking to my friends on the inside about this stuff. But I have to believe they're not happy with their back end. That they've got to make, in this way, they have to make an addition or two before the playoffs. They just don't have it figured. I don't think they have it cohesive back there. And then they got guys in and out of the lineup. So I think they're going to be looking there. They also have to be looking up front, of course. And with this LTIR, you know, it just depends on what's going to break open, right? You got so many teams right now, and especially in the East, that are in it, or are they in it, or are they not in it?
Well, that's what Jim Neal said yesterday to our own Sean Shapiro.
Yeah.
He said, you know, the price goes up when teams think they're in it.
Which is, you know, they're unrealistic, some of these teams.
Sure.
But, you know, the best thing that can happen to you is, you know, you're 10 points back, and then you realize you have to maybe do some things to move some people along. You're going to be sellers. Sellers always do better. But with everybody so bunched in like this, that's not going to break for a while. So I expect the Stars to look not markedly different, but very different when the playoffs roll around. Like, very different. That's just me.
What are your thoughts moving forward? Montreal Thursday night, great game last Saturday night, featured on Hockey Night in Canada. But as a guy who's gone on so many road trips, and Craig used to tell me this, the toughest game isn't necessarily the last game of the road trip. It's the first game back at home. Can you explain some of the things that you've seen over the years, why that's the case?
Yeah, it's sort of a cliche, right? Like, the toughest, you know, listen, when players say the fourth one is the toughest one to win in a playoff series, I don't know. Is it, you know, if you're up 3-0, is it? So this is another one, you know, that they say that first one coming back off a road trip. I think what happens is, especially on a successful road trip, you kind of go, whew, you know, you relax and you get home. And then what happens as soon as you get home? You've been gone for a week. Now you got a bunch of crap you got to do around the house. You're plugged back in. You know, there are more demands on you around home, and you've had, it's very physically taxing to do these road trips for these guys. So the numbers do bear that out, that that's always a tricky one. But I think, you know, I just think that for good focused teams, that's not as big of a deal. But I mean, I can't put my finger on it other than what I've just told you, that, you know, you really expend a lot of energy on the road. You come back, maybe you're thinking, we're at home now, it's going to be a little easier, we got the crowd behind us, blah, blah, blah. You know, maybe you don't start the first period very well, and then you're chasing it. And the NHL is a score first, lead after one league. You know, I mean, everybody who scores first has a, what, 85% win percentage or something. I mean, it's really high. So, you know, you get caught flat footed a little bit and you can drop that game. I think, though, based on recent proximity, that they just played these guys the other night,
yeah,
and then they got Colorado coming in on Saturday, that they'll be, you know, this is a, okay, we had a good road trip, but it can all be unwound if we have a bad two games at home. I say this, Gavin, this is a Ralphism for you. Ain't nothing so bad two straight wins can't fix.
Yeah.
And ain't nothing so good two straight losses can't wreck.
Yeah.
Right. So it's really that. And you know, fans will flinch after every, you know, oh my God, they lost, you know, it's over. We got to trade this guy. We got to do that. Oh my God, they won. We're going to win it all. So, you know, it's, I like where they're at now. And I think they can, because of this opponent coming in right away, they can focus because they just had that game. Right.
Yeah.
And now it won't be the same game. It, you know, that we're going to get a same, another one like that. Eh, but it'll be one where everybody's ready for it. And the Stars fans, you know, I want to take a second here because I watch games and I look around and Stars fans are amazing, man. They really are.
Yeah.
Like, that building is 1,000% victory green and 1,000% people are into it. And the watching parties now are extremely robust and people are just, the thing to me is, I look back, one of the things I'm the most proud of is how we built not just a fan base, but a community in Dallas.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, this is a big hockey community now in a place that, I mean, our hockey community is about as good as anywhere. So I just, you know, watching the fans, that building is it's an advantage for the Stars to play there.
Yeah.
So I think that that's, that's really going to serve them well, as it has. So I like where they're at right now. But then last night we lose Hintz.
Yeah.
Labushkin was, mm-hmm. Who else got?
Mate Bluvel.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, did he say anything this morning? I haven't seen
nothing's
anything.
Been said. Nothing's been said as of yet. Labushkin did come back on the ice. So early signs would be that he'd be okay. Haven't seen any recalls as far as Bischel or anyone like that, you know? So, that'll be interesting to watch. Hintz, if Hintz goes down for a bit, that's tough. Just for the simple fact of how well he was playing. And that's what's tough, because him and Robertson were clicking, and Dadonov really made that first line play well. He's a great Swiss Army knife. He can really play with anyone. Sam Steele elevated his game. So there's just been a lot of elevation in people's games. You got the steady play of Jamie Benn. You know, I counted up, he was on a heater as of late, 10 points in 10 games. So, I mean, captain's getting his, doing it as well.
Yeah, that's a lot, right? I mean, you can't go into this season or next thinking Jamie Benn's going to be your leading scorer.
Right.
Right. I mean, he's going to score, and he's going to be on the sheet a lot. So what you get from him, and it's a really funny dynamic, this team, the mix of the youth and the old.
Yes.
And you can't really. So one of the things I've been sort of disappointed is the wrong word, but up until this last couple of weeks, you look and the young guys are. When the old guys go out, you can see how it screws up the lineup, and that what happens when, Sagan's healthy and Marchman's healthy, they take a lot of attention, right? So, Marchman's a lightning rod out there, right? And that frees people up. And Sagan, we got to watch the Sagan line. So some of these young guys, but these young guys, and it's starting to happen now, but you can't have this lack of production up front from these guys. You just can't. And it's better, right?
Yeah.
But you got last night, you had Stanko finally on the sheet after 25 games.
Yeah, a lot.
That cannot happen. That cannot happen.
With any player, it really can't happen.
Huh?
With any player.
No, it can't go.
Yeah.
It can't happen. You know, Robo's got 11. It's not enough. He's not a 20-goal guy. He's got to be a 30-goal guy. Wyatt's got 10. It's not enough. He's got to be a 30-goal guy, not a 20-goal guy. Bork, it's early in the game for Bork, so you take what you get out of him. Hintz is about the only one that's on the number, right, in terms of the young guys. So, and I know it's tough because you don't have that cover for him with some of those older guys, and you can't slip him on a line with Tyler. But when Matt Duchene is leading the team in scoring with these young studs, I'd be concerned about that, right? Like, They got to be carrying more of the load, and I've watched Robo the last couple of years in the playoffs. It's concerning, it's very concerning that he doesn't do this. Wyatt, I think, is going to be fine. He's a young guy going through the ups and downs, but he's a real natural goal scorer, and you just get him in the right spots, it will come around for him. But I got to tell you, I really worry about that young group and the lack of. The lack of production. You can't just go a week and say, wow, they're back, right? But, you just, like I say, you can't, a 20-goal pace for Stankoven and Wyatt and Robo, or, less for Stankoven. He's on a 10-goal pace.
Yeah. What I did like about Stankoven, what I liked about him, it was very Brendan Gallagher-like. I mean, I don't necessarily want Logan Stankoven shooting from any kind of, I want Logan Stankoven in the dirty area, because I think that's where he's most effective. And he was very active last night in that area, gave a lot of issues to Toronto. And, even on that first goal, it was the same shift, but he went behind the net, caught up to Ekman-Larsson, picked the puck, and, caused them to recycle within the zone, which resulted in the goal so that he scored. So there are little things, the nuances of the game. Yeah. Another little thing that we pointed out on the post game, that Matt Duchene through the legs is absolutely highlight reel amazing.
Oh, dear God. Yeah.
People also have to look at how the play formed, the give and go, and the smartness of Wyatt Johnston just to carry the puck just a couple strides back towards the blue line which opened up that Toronto defense because they kind of came with him, and that enabled him to, you know, open the space for Duchesne to get the pass in there so that he had the movement to make that play.
Yeah, but he also had a cooperative opponent last night.
He really did, yeah.
They were horrible. They were horrible. Their D-zone coverage was friggin' horrible. Yeah. I mean, they didn't, like the Stars, was it that first one or the second one? There's nobody. I think it was the first one, right? And, like, the puck got on goal. There's two defensemen off to the side. Nobody takes anybody. Like, they just stand there and watch. And they get, I think it was three licks at Wall. And it was bang, bang, boom, in the net. And the Leafs are just standing there looking. So, yeah, good for, like, yeah, I like Stanky as a little, you know, a little mud demon there. Yeah. I like your analogy. And that's where you got to go. You got to go to the front of the net. And especially, and like a lot of teams won't want it. They don't, a lot of teams get, like, they're not happy about that. So, yeah, I like it. Easy stuff, right? Pucks to the net, people to the net. I mean, it's a basic hockey stuff. So, and I'm sure that's what the coach said. Yeah, I'm going to get the pucks to the net. But it worked last night, right? So, and also, when you have confidence, when you're playing well, and when you're winning games, stuff happens for you.
Yeah.
You know, so, you know, and that happened last night. Like, they got a couple of pops, and all of a sudden they could smell it. We're going to win this game. That's it. Let's go.
Right.
Right. So, yeah. So I, you know, and that's what kind of a veteran team can do. And then Otter was exactly what he needed to be when he needed to be it.
Sure.
That first shot, are you kidding me? Like, I was arguing with some people on Twitter over that shot. Those guys, goal scores, snap, bang, it's in. Forget it. You got no shot.
Yeah.
You know? Well, he could see it all the way, somebody said to me. Yeah, well, guess what? Everybody could see Brett Hull all the way too, but they couldn't stop him. So it's when those guys score, it's just when the elite goal scorers get to a spot, you could line here. You could put Mike Modano on a dot and give him 10 shots with almost nothing to shoot at, and he'd score six, right? Mm-hmm. Put Seve out there, he won't hit the net, right? So it's like, you have to, I just like doing that, right? or Luddy, I mean, though the puck comes off a millisecond quicker, it comes off a millisecond later, it looks a little different. It's, you know, it's sizzling. It's, you're just, and goalies freeze up on that shit sometime too, right?
Yeah.
It's just, oh shit, here it comes, right? And that was a great shot. Other than that, Otter was perfect.
Yeah.
That goal wasn't on Otter.
He's been really good lately.
Yeah, it was a stumble fuck turnover in the zone. All three of those guys, I think, overskated the puck and pop. So, yeah, no, Otter's been really good. Again, you know my thing. I'm waiting for the playoffs, and you know, I'm hoping. And as we talked about last time, DeSmith is now on the number, right? We need 12 or 15 wins out of our backup. He's got six halfway through the year.
Yeah.
That's another Ralph stat. You get him to 12 or 13 wins, you're in a very good spot going into the playoffs. You're going to be one of the higher seeds. And as it looks right now, man, everything's available to the Stars.
Well,
everything in the standings is available.
Okay. You can get all these opinions on Ralph's Substack at Ralph Stack. So it's terrific.
Yes.
It's opinionated. He throws it out.
Oh boy,
there.
Am I.
Yes, no, absolutely. And it's a great way to communicate and, you know, be involved with the greatness of Ralph Strangis. You brought up a great point to
Gavin,
me.
Gavin, let me step in a second. It's only $7.22 a month.
Not bad.
And 100%
right?
of the profits, just so people feel a little better, go right into my pocket. So there's no charity element here. It's just, you know, it's golf. It's my golf money fund. It's my, I'm having a great time with it. Like, it's fun to write about different things, and some are better than others, and some are accepted better than others, but it's really fun to see that. And I wrote a very meaningful piece to me the other day about the last game that I called. And it was for the Chicago Blackhawks in Dallas against the Stars on TV a little over 3 years ago with Kaylee Chelios in the booth with me.
Mm.
And you know, go to Substack and take a look at that piece, because it was important for me to do it that way. And it was just the most fun I've really ever had on the air.
Nice.
Kaylee's awesome. And we had a really fun game. So yeah, write about all kinds of stuff. Thanks for the plug.
So you and I were going back and forth via text, and you pointed out it's wins, not points. So why don't you explain that to our listeners?
Well, yeah, I mean, everybody talks about points, and we got a point, and that's an important thing, and we want the second point and all that. But if you cover up in the standings everything but games played and wins, the losses, the overtime losses, the shootout losses, whatever the hell they're tracking now, when you look at it, and I sent you that this morning.
Yeah.
And what did you notice?
Yeah.
It's 29, 28, 27. Right. Yeah. It just matches up. Like, so, and here's the thing, what I always heard was the league wanted to keep everybody in the race, and therefore picking up these points kind of creates this artificial race. But that's stupid. If you're 5 points out, wouldn't 2.5 be a better number for you? Games back? Like, isn't that a smaller number? Doesn't that seem more encouraging than 5 points back? You're 2.5 games out.
Yeah.
And so just look at it. But this is, again, this is cultural conditioning. Our whole lives, all of these coaches have been told since they were little, points, 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 points. The last guy says it, the next guy says it. The next guy after that's going to say it. But when you look at the standings, it's wins, wins and losses. And why we want to complicate that is just because the GMs run this league. They're old school guys with not a lot of imagination, and they cannot get off the fact that points are the thing, when in fact, I want everybody today to open the standings and just look at, you know, it might be a winner, like it might go 29 wins, 27 wins, 28 wins, but it's the same thing. And for me, I would rather reward the teams who win the game with higher points in the standings than handing out points for losses. It just doesn't make any friggin' sense, especially given there's no appreciable difference when you look at it in the standings between how the wins go and how the points go. And it's just, it's stupid. It's another one of those things we do that's stupid. But we've done it for 50 years, so I guess that's the right way to do it.
Right, right.
I don't know.
Right. All right, let's get into some fun NHL stuff, because one of the reasons that I love having Ralph on is because he's opinionated, but he also brings up some great points. So one of the things that I've noticed, and they actually talked about this on Hockey Night in Canada, I consider myself a sports historian. So, like, I love watching old Bob Gibson, let's say. And, you know, Bob Gibson was this huge force on the mound. And one of the things is he would pitch inside, which would open up the rest of the plate. And you just didn't want to mess with Bob Gibson. So I have always thought the same in a related sense to hockey. I feel as though a big check does several things. It ramps up the crowd. It separates the player from the puck. There are a lot of, it creates space. It tells the other team, you know, we're going to be, there are just so many signals, but what we're seeing is similar to an inside pitch where the batter now says, should I charge the mound, when it didn't even hit him?
Yeah.
We're seeing a trend where a big hit results in another player coming in and trying to defend the teammate over something that was completely legal.
Right.
What are your thoughts, and is this a trend that, you know, can be corrected, or should it even be corrected?
Well, I don't think this is so new, right? I mean, I remember doing games at Met Center way back when, because I know you had talked to me about this, and puck is saved, guy goes up and kind of taps the pad. The forward goes up and taps the pad of the goalie, and five guys jump him in front of him.
That's right.
Right. So this has been going on forever, right? Like, and anytime you get near the goalie, oh no, he's off limits, right? So I think this has always kind of been in the bloodstream, and even in the old days it was more, because you were able to dress guys who couldn't play hockey, right? You were able to dress guys who were enforcers, fighters. You know, they never got on the sheet. They never played more than 6 minutes, but they took up a roster spot and they were out there. And their job was to police whatever happened out there. And so if they were on the ice when even a little hit happened on a Mike Modano kind of player, they'd go over and beat the shit out of the guy.
Mm-hmm.
So you know, I don't know that this is anything new, but the league is kind of at this kind of weird crossroads right now with hits, legal, illegal, dirty, not dirty. What do we want to do about all this stuff? You know my feeling. Skill players have to stay on the ice because it's best for business. You know, we're going to have a bad league if all the skill players are down because Matt Rempe is able to get a spot on somebody's roster. We're in a bad league. But there's always that balancing act between, you know, is it legal? Is it not legal? And how should we respond? And I think that's sort of in hockey DNA, that if you take a liberty with my guy, I'm going to come get you. And it's hard for linesmen. The guys are so big today, you know, and so strong in that. And it's hard to grab everybody and break everything up real quickly. You know, unless the league wants to institute a, you know, no bullshit after the whistle rule or, you know, like that. I don't know. What do you think? Because, like, I don't know how you...
I just feel bad. That, but, like, there, for instance, I thought Calgary, L.A. Saturday night was a terrific late night tilt. Very physical. Defenseman from L.A., with a big hit, Lomberg comes in, and so the L.A. player naturally drops his gloves because he doesn't want to get behind, and he proactively wants to go with Lomberg because Lomberg's a fighter. And so, therefore, no instigator because he dropped the gloves first.
That's the thing, right? They never call the instigator.
Right.
If they got more liberal with the instigator, this could all go away.
Yeah.
But what happens is, right, when was the last time you saw an instigator penalty?
Unless it's blatant.
Yeah. Because why? Because GMs were third and fourth line players. They weren't skilled players.
That's interesting.
They stayed in the league because they could do this shit. Okay? So now what happens all these years later? You think they're going to do things to curtail that? Not a chance.
Yeah.
They were able to make it in the league. And this isn't a crush on their careers, but it's a crush on not going back, looking at it dispassionately and saying, well, that's not really the way we should do it. You know, I mean, when you look at every rule in the league favoring defense, you know why they don't measure goalie pads? Because GMs want low scoring games. They want games where you can defend. And they're the ones who make these rules. And it's because they can't do any of this shit. They can't. You think they could knock a puck out of the air with a high stick? Not in a million years, these third and fourth liners. You know, so it can't be a hockey play. You know, well, you can use a hand pass in your own zone to defend, but not to score. What sense does that make?
Yeah.
Like, it's just nuts. So, yeah, I think the league could shut a lot of stuff down, but they just don't have the will to do it. And that instigator rule, Gavin, I think if they just enforce that, you know, it would curtail a lot of that extra shit. That's what I think.
Let's go back to 1999, April, in fact. And the reason we're going back there is because Sean and RJ of our morning show on 105.3 The Fan had Jeremy Roenick on today to promote his upcoming tournament he'll be playing in. Just a terrific golfer. And, of course, so they asked about the Mike Modano situation followed by the Darian Hatcher. And I was saying, wow, timing's amazing. Ralph's coming on today. I want to get his thoughts because – from Roenick's standpoint, I just thought, like, he was excited as far as he knew it was part of the game. So he knew what was going to happen. And that's his side of the story. And he said they were doing their job. Hatcher's the captain. He was doing his job. He actually, in other interviews that I watched about Roenick helping these guys prepare this morning, one of the aspects was that he talked about his, not personal, now they're fine, but he didn't, you know, it always agitated him that Modano was picked first, he was picked eighth, and everyone called Modano the, you know, best American player, and Roenick had that chip on his shoulder. Not overly bad, but over the years you could see that Roenick enjoyed playing the Stars and getting physical. So I wanted to take us back because... You know, the talk was in the headlines in the newspaper, retribution and everything like that. When you watch it on YouTube, you're like, my goodness, nowadays that might be 50 games.
Yeah, well, again, but we're talking about different eras.
Absolutely.
Right? So what happened back then is not aligned with what's happening now. And JR has an old head, okay? I like JR as a player. JR's a bum. You know, I mean, that hit, and in a lot of ways, you know, and I like him. I really like him. Yeah. I've had dinner with him. I've worked with him. I, you know, was spent a lot of time with him in Korea during the Olympics in 2018. But that the play on Madonna was horseshit. It was vicious. It was illegal. It was all, it's the stuff that they would call today. And Mike, I'd go down after a game, and Mike never got the credit for being as tough as he was, because he got whacked, hacked. I'd go down after the game. He'd be standing there in his underwear and shirts off, jerseys, all that stuff. And there's welts down his body, bruises. Guys were whacking him, hacking him, all of that stuff. It should have never gotten to a point, because the old NHL was, if you're not going to call it, we're going to take care of it. And some of that drips over now, but it was really an intent to injure play on Madonna that the league didn't deal with. And then Sohatcher said, well, if they're not going to do it, I'm going to intend to injure Jeremy Roenick. And boy, did he.
Yeah.
I mean, that was as much retribution as I've ever seen in my life on somebody. But he got what he deserved on that one. I watched the old open for football on CBS in like the 70s. And each clip was more violent than the last on the NFL Today Open. There was a clothesline, right? There was a grab a guy by the face mask and twist him down to the ground. There was a hit, helmet-to-helmet hit on a quarterback. And these things were all celebrated back then.
Yeah.
And then the NFL said, wait a minute, hold on a minute. Do we really want our best players out of the lineup every week? And so they made big fundamental changes to the game. The NHL is always the last to the table, and so there's a lot of this sort of lingering, and there's a lot of this hockey code that really doesn't belong anymore. And they've been trying to kind of sift through all of that stuff. It's a better game when the skill's on the ice. And that's not to say don't be physical. The NFL is still plenty physical, plenty physical. And you watch hockey, and it's still plenty physical. But that cheap stuff that, you know, and Roenick wasn't the player Mike was. He was a different player. He was a rough and tumble, and he could score, and he was, you know, all of that stuff. And Mo was a lot more dance through the raindrops, a prettier player. They were both great players, really. Like, I'm not taking anything away from JR, but I'm saying he's just, that stuff is just so 50 years ago.
Yeah.
And he can go back now and say, you know, that's how it is. And a lot of those guys, like we were just talking about, the GMs and the old guys pine for that stuff. And the fans pine for that stuff. Oh, we had a way better league way back when. No, we didn't. We really didn't. It was brutal. Guys were getting maimed out there. I mean, I called these games. I called hundreds of these games like this. You couldn't do any business. You couldn't make any room. There was no, it was just crazy. And so I'm glad we're kind of moving on with some of that stuff. But, you know, JR, I think he did. But he chased, like, I just saw Mo on Spittin' Chiclets, right?
Yeah.
And Mo said, you know, every night I knew he was hunting. And so I had to keep my head on a swivel. Like, I knew he was coming at me. And he said, maybe it made me a better player because I had to be on high alert all the time. But I don't know about that. It was just, but they would go and they'd hunt Mo. And that's why you'd have to have enforcers and all of that stuff. And I know I'm kind of talking in
no,
circles
but did you,
here.
But did you go into the building that night, Ralph? Like, was there a
different
atmosphere?
Oh, we knew it was coming.
You knew?
Yeah, we knew it was coming. Yeah. Sure. I mean, that's, and it wasn't anything said, like official, like, yeah, I'm going to go get Roenick tonight. I don't remember if I talked to Hatch about it at all. And he might have given me that wink and smile that he used to do like before. But I knew it was, we were waiting and it was going to happen right away. We knew it was going to happen right away. And so I saw him coming down the wall and I saw Hatch lining him up and I went, Oh God, here it goes. And, you know, JR was drinking his food through a straw for 4 months.
Yeah.
So, you know, and it cost that team a lot. It cost him being in the playoffs. And I think that's another thing that sort of plays into this for GMs and coaches and all that now is you can't have Jeremy Roenick out for the playoffs. Like, that's a bad business model. We're not going to win many games, and they didn't. Anyway.
I think that's
my take on that. I'm not into this knuckle-dragon bullshit.
No, I'm just not. I understand. I think that's something that the ECHL has to improve upon. I mean, I can appreciate fighting, but at the same time, like, you got to feature talent. Yeah, and that's the problem. Now teams...
Goalie fights every night and shit. It's just a clown show.
Teams will not put prospects in that league for those reasons. Yeah. And they have affiliates, but, you know, it's one of those things where, you know, they might bury someone down there, but they're not going to feature people down there. It's straight to juniors, to the AHL, or college is technically the minor leagues now.
Another very good feeder program. Right?
Okay. Two other quickies.
Okay, buddy.
Seems like every single game, you know, someone's getting repaired, so to speak. Yeah. I mean,
the rough sport.
Yeah, we talk about moving forward. What about the full face shield? What's the downside of that?
I don't think there is one, except the players. You know, I don't know. Wear a full face shield around the house for one day.
Okay.
You know,
can I get paid? Can I get that driving next time?
Put a full cage on your face when you're in your car driving.
Just give me per diem. Just give me the per diem for the day. That's all.
The per diem's great, but. It's so uncomfortable. They lose some vision with it. They haven't played, especially this current group, they didn't grow up with it, you know? So it's just, oh God, I got to do this now. Would it be safer? Yeah. That one I'm a little less concerned about because it's the players assume the risks. You know, generally what happens if you're not wearing a face mask, it's not generally somebody else does something to you. It's the puck or it's, right? The puck hits you in the face, but like mush, right? I mean, it's not usually a player that takes advantage of no face mask. Right. The puck find, you know, or you get checked into the boards, you hit a stanchion and, you know, and your face gets mashed.
Yeah.
I don't know. Talk to the guys. I like kind of that. I think the helmet's really good. And I can't believe, I did games where guys weren't wearing helmets. It's nuts, right?
Yeah, no, but, absolutely. Yeah. All right, so let's end on this because you are a great hockey historian, and teams are coming out right now with their quarter century team. And today Buffalo was released, and my eyes were immediately drawn to first team goaltender Ryan Miller, second team goaltender Dominic Hasek. And I had to re-look up the Dominator. 10 years with Buffalo. 10 years.
Yeah, but 1 year in the current century.
I guess.
This is a quarter century team, right? He only played there 1 year. Now, if they do the best top 100 of the 20th century, he's one.
Yeah.
You know, he might be one. But that's, I think, you know, these lists are crazy, too. There's all kinds of criteria. There's all kinds of hidden criteria. We don't know what the organization wanted. But I think this one I'm okay with, Gavin, because he didn't play.
Yeah.
He played one season.
Yeah.
All right.
I should have looked into that one. You're right.
God dang it, Gavin. Come on.
I just have so much. I mean, he's named the Dominator for a reason, right?
Oh, no. Look, he's really an incredible guy. He's a thoughtful guy. He's, you know, he's a well-read guy. He's a historian. He's, you know, some of the things he was tweeting about during with Afghanistan and all those things and Russia and all that. This is a very educated guy. Like, and I find him to be extremely thoughtful. I follow him on Twitter and that. And he was one of the great goals. You know, listen, here's how good he was. The Sabres scored one goal in the final 9 periods of that series.
Wow.
Think about that. They scored one goal. In the final 9, they were shut out in game 5. They scored 1 in game 6, 9 periods with triple overtime.
That's amazing.
You're not. And it was all him.
Yeah.
They had nothing. I was watching. It was funny because I thought, oh, now I get to see Michael Pekka because he's the Eastern's answer. He's the East Coast's answer to Yuri Lehtinen as the Selke winner. It wasn't even close. Like, Pekka was nothing in that series. The only guy I noticed really was Stu Barnes, but they had no big high-end attack. They had no high-end skill. They had nothing like that. Lindy was trying to friggin' drag that team through the final, and Hasek almost – if Hasek wins that cup, that would have been the most amazing thing I'd ever seen.
Yeah.
Because they had nothing. Like, they – it was crazy.
You'd probably get bored, but I would love to do a show with you someday where I just do, like, one word, like, just name the player, and then you go. Like, I'm just thinking,
try one.
Evgeny Nabokov.
Nabby, Mike Modano owned him. I think he has 3 or 4 milestone goals and points on Evgeny Nabokov. And when he became America's greatest scorer, I'm not really sure how I feel about that stat. But, you know, I mean, it's like left-handers, greatest scorer, or, you know, blonde people, greatest scorer.
Yeah.
You know, it's come on, Kazakhstan's greatest scorer. But, I mean, it's a big number, so I'm okay with it. But, you know, it happened on Nabokov. He had a breakaway, and I went, oh, this is church. You know, Nabby was the other thing about Nabokov was that game 6 in Dallas in 2008.
One of the greatest games I've ever seen.
And that series was fantastic. Yeah. And he was really good. But much like Tommy Salo of Edmonton, he was just good enough to get beat by the Stars every year. You know, that's what it was. And so Nabby had a great career if he didn't have to play the Dallas Stars.
That's true.
We always, you know, we had him, and Mike just owned him. Like, so there's my Nabby.
I mean, that's perfect. See, so we'll do that someday. I'm just going to name random NHL players because there are so many greats. Because they're not in the NHL Hall of Fame or the Hockey Hall of Fame, you know, I don't want to say they're forgotten, but like Thomas Vokoun was a terrific goaltender. You know, Matthias Nordström was a great defenseman.
I just saw that on Twitter today. Today's the anniversary of his first shutout or something.
There you go.
You know?
There you go. I mean, I remember going to Stars games and the Stars acquired Matthias Nordström. And I'm like, wow, this guy, like, if anything gets to his side, it's being canceled out. Like, I just love those players that aren't talked about anymore.
Yeah. I loved him. He was a great dude. And he was a force out there, man.
Yes.
He was a bar of iron. He was a little like Luddy. You know, he was just a block of iron, like Tanev, like these guys, you know. And when you have one, your odds improve. You know, I'm not a Dumba guy. I didn't like the signing. I don't like that he's still on the ice. I don't know what they're going to do.
It's tough.
But I think looking forward as we kind of get to the end of this, you know, I really like where they're at now. They can kind of see it now a little bit. They know they got to tighten shit up. But I think Jim Nill has always figured out a way to add and make it meaningful. I believe that in the next, you know, when's trade deadline this year?
Well, because of the Four Nations Cup, I think it's a little bit. So we're talking early March.
Early or mid-March? Yeah. If only there were a way to look something like that up quickly, Gavin.
You sound like my ex-wives.
When's the trade deadline? NHL trade deadline is...
So it's a new year, 2025, and you're thinking, how am I going to make this year different? How am I going to build something for myself? But where do I start? Shopify is how you're going to make it happen, and here's how. Shopify makes it simple to create your brand, open for business, and get your first sale. The best time to start your new business is right now. Get your store up and running easily with thousands of customizable templates, no coding or design skills required. All you need to do is drag and drop. Their powerful social media tools let you connect all your channels and create shoppable posts and help you sell everywhere people scroll. What happens if you don't act now? Will you regret it? What if someone beats you to the idea? Don't kick yourself when you hear this again in a year because you didn't do anything now. With Shopify, your first sale is closer than you think. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to start selling with Shopify today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
The search for truth never ends.
Introducing June's Journey, a hidden object mobile game with a captivating story. Connect with friends, explore the roaring 20s, and enjoy thrilling activities and challenges while supporting environmental causes. After 7 years, the adventure continues with our immersive travels feature. Explore distant cultures and engage in exciting experiences. There's always something new to discover. Are you ready? Download June's Journey now on Android or iOS.
Head to Safeway this week for these amazing deals for their members. USDA Choice Boneless Beef Tri-Tip Roast, Untrimmed Twin Pack, just $4.99 per pound. Signature Farms Boneless Skinless Chicken Breasts, Thighs or Wings. Buy one, get one free of equal or lesser value when you buy two. Progresso Soup, 18 to 19 ounce selected varieties. Buy two, get four free when you buy six. Visit Safeway.com for more details. See you in the aisles.
Hi, I'm Kelly Corrigan. You probably never heard of me. Maybe you did. I wrote some New York Times bestsellers. I gave a TED Talk. But the reason I'm in your ear now is to invite you to listen to Kelly Corrigan Wonders. We talk to everyone from Bono to Amy Schumer, Spike Lee to Rainn Wilson, Krista Tippett and Bryan Stevenson about purpose, creativity, well-being, and what makes life worth living. Follow and listen to Kelly Corrigan Wonders on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
And just tell you. Date. Look at us. What a fun use of the podcast time. March 7th.
Okay, yeah.
March 7th. So, you know, especially with this LTIR with Tyler, dude, they could be extremely active here.
Mm-hmm.
And they could land a couple of really good ads at the deadline, maybe more. I like where they're going to be positioned by the time this all starts. If they can grind through and they can, you know, because I think Tyler, I'm hoping Tyler will be back. How effective he'll be, I don't know, but I don't think you can plan on that. And Mush, you know, Mush is a big part of this group. So, you know, he gets back. They add a couple of guys. Things go bang, 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 and we're good.
Yeah, yeah, it's exciting. Well, keep grinding on Ralph's stack. That's the sub stack.
I will.
We all need to pay for so Ralph can get his 18 holes in.
Correct, correct.
And so he can keep coming on Spits and Suds. That's important, too.
Because, anytime you want. Oh, anytime. Wow. You like your shirt? You got your shirt?
I did. Ralph sent me this beauty in the mail, this Ralph's
stack
shirt.
Isn't it soft
shirt.
And comfy?
It is really soft. So I'm a t-shirt guy. I research soft t-shirts. Too. You did not spare expense, sir. I appreciate it.
No, I lost a lot of money on this company last year because of the t-shirt. So, but if you sign up for a paid subscription,
okay,
any kind now, we're going to send you a t-shirt.
Nice.
Free of charge. But for $7.22 a month.
That's basically 2 free months with the quality of that t-shirt.
You know what I paid for these t-shirts?
Yeah. No, I mean, yeah.
Like $18 a shirt to
get
those.
Wow. But they are super soft.
But that's how I am.
Yeah.
I'm a class act, Gavin. You know that.
Well, of course you are, sir. Of course you are. And okay. Thank you so much for taking the time. And we'll have to decide. We did the quarter point. We did the half point. Every time you come on, people are like, man, it's so great to hear from Ralph Strangis. And I'm like, yeah, go to his Substack. So
right after the trade deadline, we'll do it. Okay.
Okay. That sounds good, my man. Hit him straight today. You are the man.
Thanks,
and thank you for coming on Spits and Suds. We truly appreciate it.
Anytime. Thanks for having me, Gavin.
And thanks everyone for listening to Spits and Suds. We'll talk to you again with another episode soon. Have a great day, everyone.